Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Harry Winks right at the loft. Dele Alli. Lamela. Dundonbele. He's back in the game.
Hugo Lloris. And he saved it.
And the final.
Welcome to The Last Word on Spurs. I'm Richard, a bit upset, a bit annoyed and a bit, oh my days. Anyway, listen, I'm going to start the show with a little quote for you, which seems quite apt this evening. The great Danny Blanchflower. The game is about glory. It's about doing things in style and with a flourish and about going out and beating the other lot, not waiting to die of boredom. And I think that seems to be ringing in a lot of people's ears tonight and your views as well on social media. But hey, listen, before we get into all that, there is other people involved to speak to and to bring some sense to this madness. Oh, I hope you've had a nice Christmas, everyone, by the way. Like, not forgetting that time of year. It's Merry Christmas, Spurs fans. Anyway. Joining us this evening, or today, whenever you're listening, of course, is Jamie B via the Daily Hotspur. Jamie, how you doing?
Yeah, firstly, Merry Christmas to all our listeners. And thank you for tuning in. Of course, a very, very difficult time to be supporting Spurs. And we thank you for sticking with us for now. And hopefully, we can do a show that will, hopefully review the game and maybe give you some sort of positivity to take away from it. That's what we always like to do. But I think it'll be very difficult tonight. Look, I've always been the man to come and defend Jose Mourinho, even when it was really difficult. Last season, I was defending him. But tonight, serious questions, I think, have to be asked after that performance. Again, it was not. We have not learned from mistakes. I think one of the guys said it on the WhatsApp group that we're in. We just haven't learned. It was very similar to the Palace game. And it was just... We're waiting for that. We scored the first goal and then we just sit back and we're waiting for it to happen. And we're so passive. We don't go and change the game. And it was very, very frustrating game this evening. So, it's going to be quite a difficult game to kind of dissect.
Very much so. Also joining us this evening from his pub, from his den, from his lair, it's Mr. Anthony Costa. Evening, Ant.
Evening, boys. Evening, everyone. Yeah, happy Christmas and all that. But... Just don't know where to start, mate. I'm just gutted. I'm devastated. I'm paid off more than anything. And I'm sure we're going to get on with it and see what we talk about.
Oh, I think that big blowout of the cheeks said it all there. And by the way, may I just caveat and clarify that when I said Ant joins us from his pub, that's that's his pub in his garden, and not like he hasn't. He's not got a pub open in Tier 4 or anything. So you know, don't go at in the police. All right, he's on his own with social distancing. And finally, this evening, a man who must have a blue book full of stats, which like can't be great reading. It's one and only Mr. Lee McQueen.
Merry Christmas, everyone, and hopefully we'll get a better 2021 than we've had over the last couple of weeks with 2020. What I would say is only 10 days ago we were top of the league, so let's not get too mental about everything, right? I am as miffed off as everyone else on the pod and all the listeners. We've had over 180 questions when we have a bad result, and I tell you now, for me anyway, and I'm sure everyone else would be, Jose's going to get it with two barrels tonight. However, what I would say is we was top of the league only 10 days ago, and we are kind of getting away with it at the moment because we are fifth and 2 points, 3 points off second place. But my God, woeful, absolutely woeful. And I'm sure we'll get into it, Crackers.
Yeah, we certainly will. And let me just come back to a point you made there, Lee. As you said, over 180 questions and points of view. So once again, the listeners have stepped up. Listeners of this show are fantastic, absolutely brilliant with their input. And we thank each and every one of you for sending them in. But if we got through all 180 points, then we'd be here till Christmas Day 2021. So we've grouped some together. We'll get through as many as we can. A lot of anger, to say the least. But look, let's start at the start, because I'm sure we'll be critical, but it's no point criticising without trying to offer up some solutions as well. We could sit here for an hour and just moan and just go off on one, but where's that going to get us? So, you know, we'll try and offer up a little bit of something in there as well. So I'll start with you, Jamie, and the lineup this evening. Lloris in goal, and Doherty, Sanchez, Dyer, Davis, Reguilon, Højbjerg, Winksum, Dembele, Son and Kane. So no Toby, Sanchez come in, and it looked like he'd gone with a little bit of a different formation. And I thought, oh, okay, we've got a couple of wing-backs attacking down the sides. We might just see something a little bit different here. And did that lineup surprise you at all?
I think the lineup in the way in which we set up with fullbacks and we set up with Davinson Sanchez playing, I think it was to combat their wingers. Obviously, we know their biggest threats, the likes of Pedro Neto and Daniel Podence. They're obviously very good players. And of course, Adama Traore, yes, of course, he doesn't contribute to many goals, but he's still a real threat for them. So I think we set up in a way to kind of nullify that. There was also rotation in that team, of course, and Ndombele back in the team, and then Son, Kane. So look, there was enough quality on the pitch there tonight, but I think it was kind of the way the tactics and the instructions that the players were given is what really let us down tonight. I think if you saw the way we started off so quickly and we went 1-0 up, and you saw when we went and attacked, the quality that we had, you know, Tongi and Ndombele was absolutely sensational today. And I'm sure we'll get onto him a bit more in detail later on. But, you know, as I said, there was quality in the first opening few minutes, and that was so frustrating. Why we just went for 1-0 and then sat back, because you know throughout the game you're just waiting for that goal to happen, and it was very, very, very difficult to watch that 90 minutes. And I think ultimately we kind of really, really shot ourselves in the foot by setting up in that way. So very frustrating.
Very much so. And I'll come to you, and like Jamie said, a great, great start, a la Man City. And yeah, I thought, oh, here we go. We look like we're on the front foot. But we don't seem to be able to do that kind of Jose football, but also with a little bit more attacking. We done it against Liverpool. We done it against City. Why can we not just see a whole game out like that?
I know. I just think it's ever since that West Ham game, when we went 3-0 up in 20, 25 minutes, and, you know, we're all cheering, everyone's gleaming, everyone's doing this. And the minute we went 1-0 up, I was like, great, I want to see another one. And then I want to see another one. I want to see expansive football. I want to see attacking football, because obviously we started really, really strong.
But then we just make silly, silly mistakes all the time. Players giving the ball away, players not being in the right position. It's just silly, silly mistakes under Mourinho, under Poch, under AVB, under all these managers. We've always been the same Tottenham and always make stupid, bloody mistakes. And it just does my head in, because everyone then looks at the manager, and rightly so, because as Lee said, you know, Mourinho's going to get it from, you know, from all barrels tonight. It wasn't good enough. The subs were wrong. Some of the players, it goes to show that we haven't got the depth in our squad that we've been battering on about for the last 5-6 months. And that showed tonight. I am more gutted tonight than I have been. Liverpool, all right, you know, would have been great to nick a draw. Again, it's that 80 minutes. It's the 45 minutes to the 55 minutes. And then it's 80 minutes to 90 minutes. We always seem to concede first 10 minutes of the second half, or the first 10 minutes, or the last 10 minutes of the second half. It's just ridiculous now. It's ridiculous, and it needs to stop.
Yeah, they say that the definition of madness is doing the same things over and over and over again.
Why don't they learn, Rich? Why haven't they learned, lads? It's ridiculous.
I really thought
the tide was turning, man. I really did.
I'll bring Lee in at this point, because he must have his blue book on the stats of our pass completion rate and looking at points that we've also dropped in those last 10 minutes. It makes terrible reading, Lee. God,
honestly, I'm not enjoying my blue book tonight. I tell you, I've got listeners' questions coming in as well. Martin Dolan, at Martin Dolan 101, talks about our serial winner tactics are costing us points. Matt Martin at MJ A Martin also says he's not digging out Winksy, but was his pass completion tonight? I've got some stats going on with Winksy, and sorry, Harry, you're not going to like this, but in 2020-2021 season, he's made 6 appearances in the Premier League. So it's not just tonight. This is in 6 appearances in the Premier League. He's got 0 assists. His pass match accuracy is 49%. He's created no big chances. He's put 1 cross in. His crossing accuracy is at 0%. He's put 0 through balls through. He's got 0 assists. He's got goals with his left foot, right foot, headed goals, 0, because he ain't scored anything. He hasn't even had a shot at all in the entire game of the Premier League. So, okay, maybe that's not his game. Let's go to his defence. Tackles, he's made 6. And out of that tackles that he's made, he's only got a 67% tackle success rate. He ain't blocked any shots. He's only made 1 interception. Bearing in mind, this ain't tonight. This is in 6 Premier League appearances. So I think that covers off Matt Martin and Martin's questions over on Twitter as well. Habib at Habib Hayats. Says one for the little blue book here. It looks like that we've dropped 9 points in the last 10 minutes of games in the Premier League. And I can confirm that, Habib, that it is absolutely correct. In the last 10 minutes of games, we've lost 9 points. We've dropped 9 points because of that. And they are coming from Newcastle. They are coming from West Ham. They're coming from Crystal Palace. They're coming from Wolves tonight. And quite frankly, it's not good enough. The blue book is a wash of it tonight, Crackers. I've got to be honest with you, and I've got to go again. So we are blunt. We are blunt since the Arsenal game. Everyone gives it large. Yeah, Arsenal, they're rubbish. I don't care about Arsenal. They're insignificant to me, because we have got bigger and better things to go after. But we're blunt since we beat them 2-0. So the last time we kept a clean sheet in the Premier League, for example, we've then gone on. Arsenal will score 2 goals. We scored 2 goals against Antwerp, then 1 against Palace, 1 against Liverpool, 0 goals against Leicester, which is the first time we've had a shot out since Everton. Stoke, yes, okay, Championship side, we scored 3 goals. Wolves scored 1 goal. So in the last 7 games, scored 10 goals. That is 1.42 goals per game. Way down. Shall I tell you what the stat is? Blue Book going ferociously tonight here, Crackers. Shall I tell you what else happened? 37 goals in the previous games before. 37 goals we scored, yeah, including the Southampton, including the Man United, Maccabi Haifa, whatever. That's 2.58 goals per game. We're now hitting 1.42. So anybody's this, I've defended Jose to the hilt, and I still will. I'm not saying sack him. I'm not saying any of that stuff. People have a head wobble. But what you said about the great Danny Blanchflower, you get nothing for defending and sitting back and losing a football match or conceding late on. You get nothing for that. Go and have a go. We've got the attacking players on there. No clean sheet in five games.
Lee, don't it go to show that we always rely on the same two players all the time? We have no other, apart from Ndombele tonight, all right. But you're saying about Winks, I'm sorry to call him out, but every time he's played, he doesn't do anything. What does he do? What does he physically do? Does he take that game by the scruff of his neck? He's an England international now. He's 24, 25 years old. Enough of the sentiments, mate. You ain't good enough to wear this shirt. It's true, isn't it?
It's not even tonight. It's on the Premier League.
Exactly. Matches. But, you know.
When you look at the match stats tonight, 54% possession, 6 shots on target, 11 shots in total, 733 touches, 528 passes, 21 tackles. You know I'm talking about here, right? I ain't talking about Tottenham. I'm talking about Wolves. We had no shots on target after 21st minute in a football match. That we went 1-0 up in after 57 seconds. I'm sorry, not good enough. And Jose couldn't say anything in his post-match conference, presser, because it's on him. It is on him. If the players are knackered, it's on him because he picked the wrong ones. If they didn't go and attack, it's on him. He spent about 50 minutes talking to Berger on the sideline to get him to defend. I mean, what the hell? Come on and go and attack. We play 3 at the back with wing backs tonight. What, how many crosses do you think we put in a box? How many? Maybe come to me after the break because I've given you so many stats. It's absolutely ridiculous.
I dread to think.
We had 2 corners the whole match. That shows you how attacking we were. Woeful.
So bad. So bad.
Jamie, I'll come to you with some of those brilliant stats, by the way, Lee. Not even if they don't make for good listening and good reading, they're there. And the stats, they just don't lie. And like you were saying, with the goals dropping off, it's coincided with both Son and Kane that give everything for this team. But they're knackered. They're knackered. They're tired. They are knackered. And at Park Lane, Yid, at Gavin Spurs, at Cornwall 8, have all made a similar point. Thanks for sending that in, guys, by the way. Just saying, Kane is not at the races. So he's got to have a rest, doesn't he? We are literally carrying him at the moment, you know. But he gives so much, that's why.
Yeah, look, it's not Harry Kane's fault that he's knackered. I think that he does need a rest, and it takes for a moment from the manager to be brave and take that opportunity to rest him. I mean, I saw Bergvall come on today, and obviously he was rested against Stoke, and he looked full of energy, but obviously not quite the quality. But it shows they just need a rest. You know, what was the point of Harry Kane being on the pitch? He might as well have been rested tonight because he just was not. He was so tired. He was so fatigued. He wasn't able to get into the game. So we might as well have rested him. It just needs that manager to be brave, because I'd rather that he missed maybe one or two, a game or so, because he's been rested, rather than, you know, 5 or 6 because he's absolutely fatigued, or he's maybe picked up an injury because he's had to play so many games. So I think it does take that for the manager. He needs to kind of look somewhere elsewhere and find an alternative plan to give Harry Kane a chance to rest, because at the moment, Harry Kane is offering us nothing. But again, I need to stress the point, you can't blame him because he's tired, he's fatigued, he's played so much football. So you have to expect that. So yeah, it is just so frustrating how heavily reliant we are on those two at the moment. You just look at the rest of the team. I mean, you could blame the personnel. I think you can, but there's also the lack of an alternative plan. And that for me is another frustrating thing. So I think the blame lies on other players not stepping up and Jose Mourinho not being able to find another way to get goals. And certainly when we're sitting deep like that, it's not benefiting a tired Son. It's not benefiting a tired Kane, and it's just not working at the moment.
No, absolutely. Yeah, spot on.
But they're tired. Sorry, Crackers. They're tired, and listeners as well, because all your questions are coming in. They're tired because we don't have the football. Like, this is not rocket science here. The game is harder without the football. right? End of story. I want a coach and somebody to come and tell me that I'm wrong, because I've never played professional football. But what I know, that I've watching it, the amount of times that I have and analysing what I do, the game is harder without the football. So we are going into games without the football and constantly being knackered, either physically or mentally, because we haven't got the football. And Kane and Son, like the point you just made, Jamie, they're knackered. You can see it a mile off. Where is Vinicius in a 9-man bench? Where is he? Everybody's telling me it ain't a backup striker. He's a striker. Well, where is he then? It's not even on the bench, in a 9-man bench. You've got Dele Alli. He's got trainers on in a box and he's named on the bench. He ain't got a kit on. The fellow hasn't even got a kit on. It's a freaking shambles, Tottenham. Look, what are you doing?
The substitutions for me were definitely an issue as well, because when we're chasing the game and we're making substitutions that are almost defensive, like you're bringing on Moussa Sissoko, there's just no kind of, there was really no plan to go forward. I mean, Bergwijn, as we said, he just looked kind of as if he was there to defend. So the substitutions as well is another big issue for me. And it was very, very negative and very frustrating.
Well, talking of the substitution and the fatigue, and I'll come to you with this. At Pete Moses and at Real Muscle Talk, they've both pointed out, why is Ndombele now not fit enough for 90 minutes? And it's every game, 65, 66 minutes. And he was the only one offering us an out. So why is he getting rested? Now, do you think that he's still not fit enough, or do you think this is a tactic from Jose just to keep bringing him off?
You know, he's been in, you know, two seasons now, and if he ain't fit enough, then I might as well be a professional footballer.
Jamie, I'll come to you on the same point with Ndombele, and do you now think that this is a fitness issue or a tactics from the manager issue? It can't be fitness, can it? Can't be.
It's not fitness, it's the manager doesn't trust him, and it's utterly bizarre. That was one thing that really frustrated me tonight, and that was kind of the moment where I almost gave up on the match. I thought Ndombele was absolutely sensational tonight. I thought he was completely on a different level. He was the only player that was looking to get us out of situations of trying to transition the ball into attack, and we just took that away, and we brought on Moussa Sissoko, who, you know what he's coming on to do. He's coming on to defend, to work hard. He's not going to carry the ball forward. It was just such a negative substitution. It was it was just taking off a guy who was actually looking to do something. And as we said, we kept a guy like Harry Winks on the pitch who just wasn't doing enough. And he's just, again, he's in there to defend. And it was all so negative. I mean, we needed that second goal. It was so obvious. I mean, any Spurs fan could have seen that equaliser was coming. And again, we've said it on previous shows. It's so passive. We need to be more reactive to the situation. We can see it's not working. We can see the goals coming. But, you know, we just kind of sit there and we hope that what we're doing is going to work. And it just hasn't. We've seen it happen against Palace. We've seen it happen against Liverpool, where we've kept trying to do the same thing and it didn't work. The same against Leicester. So that's, you know, I really, really hope that Jose Mourinho starts to realise that he can't just sit and defend a one-goal lead, because it's just not working. And I really, really hope that he tries to look for a way to change it. And again, it's trying to find that plan B, because at the moment, it's just, we don't have that at Spurs.
Phoenix 51 is a powerful employee technology enabling organisations to make data-driven decisions at every stage of the employee journey, from hiring through benchmarking and development too. The platform provides detailed analytics on the most important asset in your business, your people, enabling organisations not only to make the correct hiring decisions, but also how to benchmark, train and retain them. Phoenix 51, powering your people decisions through every part of the employee journey.
What is our best formation? It's like, given the personnel that we've got, it's just so hard to work out. Lee, I'll come to you. And I mean, this might be a bit of an impossible question. Is... Will Jose change? Is he going to realise? I mean, we know Jose, he's so Jose, I'm right, but I just fear he'll plough on regardless. I think that's what's everybody's fear. And he does, it just seems so ingrained into Spurs fans' DNA of being entertaining and attacking. I mean, Pochettino got so much slack cutting because we was offering up something that we could cling on to, even if it didn't get us any results. People clung on to it because they was in a roundabout way being entertained. I just don't know. Do you think he'll change?
Well, the first question is two questions there. The first one is no. Right, simple as that. He ain't going to change. The geezer's won everything and three, four times over. He ain't changing. No chance. He's not going to change. His methods work and they win. And he's set up tonight like, and we've said this off air, but I'm going to bring it up now because it's a perfect opportunity to say it. He's set up as if we're playing cup football. You know, at the end of the day, if that's in a Europa League away tie tonight against, you know, Wolves or Wolfsburg or whatever, it's a brilliant result. 1-1, we've got an away goal, we bring them back to lane, we turn them over. That you know, that's the mentality is. Yeah, we go to the Carabao Cup semi-final at home at Brentford, we'll probably turn them over, get into a cup final. You know, it's a one-off game. We hopefully we win that game. He don't care if we win it on penalties. The reality is we pick up a cup. Yeah, and that's how we're approaching that game. No one on the planet watching that football match tonight, other than Jose, and he was dumbfounded in his post-match presser. He couldn't say really too much. There was no deli to dig out, was there? So he couldn't really say anything. No one can tell me that watching that game tonight that we did anything positive to go and win that football match. We didn't. And that, you know, it's not about style, right? It's not about style. How many counterattacks did we have today? Right, we're a counter-attacking team. We've got Bale, weren't even on the bench tonight. We've got Bale, we've got Son, we've got Kane, we've got Ndombele, we've got Pace. We've got Reguilon, who's got pace to burn. Right, we've got pace in that side to a counter-attack. We've got incisive passing. We soak the pressure up in the counter-attack. How many counter-attacks do we have, lads? One. We had one counter-attack. One. In the whole match.
Yeah, one or two. Yeah, one.
No, we had one. No, I'm telling you, it's facts. We had one counter-attack. And that one counter-attack was when Ndombele, unfortunately, and I think he was a good player tonight on the pitch, he chose the wrong pass. He passes to Reguilon. If he passes to Kane, it's 2-0 and it's game over. Game over at 2-0 at that point. Wolves don't come back from that.
But this is what I'm saying.
No, and that's what I'm saying. So, you know, the second part of your question, you talk about the first part. The second part of your question is, you know, the way he's setting up and the way what we're doing and whatever. We all knew. All of us, every single listener listening to me waffle on right now, knew that equaliser was coming. Every single Spurs fan knew that equaliser was coming. So one, my question back to the pod and the listeners is, or to ponder, is did the players know it was coming? Because we all did. And two, did Jose? That's the biggest worry for me. Why would you bring on them substitutions if you knew that equaliser was coming? You're conceding so much possession with zero incisive passing going forward. Surely you need to bring on attacking players to actually make that attack happen. So you bring on Bergwijn and then Bergie. Sorry, I can't pronounce his name properly. Sorry, Stephen. Bergie and what? He just defends it. He didn't affect the game at all. They didn't affect that game whatsoever. I've just read out Winks's stats earlier before. No passes, no this, no that. I mean, what is the point? And then you bring on Sissoko with a bit of energy. But, you know, we saw Arsenal yesterday against Chelsea and they were forced into massive change. They brought a load of youngsters on, loads of energy, and they won the game, you know, and it, because of a bit of energy and a bit of front foot. I'm dumbfounded. I don't think I'll answer your second question properly, Crackers, to be fair. But, you know, Jose won't change because that's the way Jose is. I'm not saying that we need to get rid of him. I'm not having a go at his style of football. What I'm having a go at tonight, just so everybody's clear that is listening to me, is one counter-attack. That's what I'm having a go at. If we're in a counter-attacking team, we were woeful tonight. I don't mind soaking the pressure. I don't mind not having possession. The Poch point that you made was the second point. I'm not having that either. I was there at Brighton. Right when we had to get a 92nd minute winner from Christian Eriksen, and we were woeful against Brighton, and that was under Poch. You know, Sheffield United, we were woeful under Poch. So, you know, Poch got a free reign because he got 60% possession and whatever. And I love Pochettino, but the reality is tonight, and we're only going on tonight per se, the way we set up should have been a counter-attacking masterclass. We went 1-0 up on 57 seconds. We should have said, right, Wolves, you've got to come at us now. bang, spacing behind, counter-attacking, fast-paced, like we did against Southampton, right? Like we did against Manchester United. None of it. That's Blackers. Mourinho. That is on the players and Mourinho. That is, what are they doing? And if they're tired, if they're knackered, like what we're saying they are, then that's also on Mourinho, because he's playing Kane and Son way too much. Where's Vinicius? Where's Bale again? Where's Dele sitting in the stands with trainers on? I mean, these are attacking footballers that could come and make a difference to the team, right?
I think this is the big frustration about whatever you think about Dele Alli, isolating him out the team when you need options. You know, you don't want to isolate a player like that. I thought he did well. Obviously, he got the Man of the Match award from the supporters against Stoke. So the fact that he is kind of freezing him out the team when we really need him at the moment, we need that attacking option. So that's something, again, that definitely is frustrating at the moment, the way he's freezing out Alli.
Jamie, I'll come to you again. And at JC101JC, I said, people won't take this football when it doesn't get results. When will Jose realise the personnel doesn't suit what he wants to do? And this is a point I made earlier on WhatsApp. And I said, but he's trying to make safety boots, but with ballet shoe silk at the moment. So, I mean, who has to go and who has to come in to suit what he wants to do? Because he's falling between two stools at the moment, really, isn't he?
Yeah, again, for me, look, we've seen it work before. So it's shown signs that it can work. We've obviously had fantastic performances against Man City, against Arsenal. So this football can work. It just shows you that there are certain games and there will be different circumstances where it needs to change and something alternative needs to happen. Because at the moment, we've got one tactic, which is to get that early goal and sit back, and there's no change in the way that we're doing it. So that's something that definitely needs to change. Again, I mean, in fairness, he has only been here 1 year. He's had, two transfer windows now. So he's still going to need time to bring in personnel when he is playing in such a, you know, obviously, very tactically, we've got to be very tactically switched on in these sort of situations. So he's going to need the right personnel. So in a way, yes, he's obviously going to need a couple of transfer windows to get in the players that he wants. But the big thing is that Spurs fans, I'm not quite sure, will accept this style of football, and it will be very difficult for him to get that time and that acceptance if we keep playing like this and we're not delivering results. You know, Spurs fans, I think, as many, many Spurs fans, they expect attractive football. So it's going to be very difficult for him to kind of have that time, because I think that supporters are going to start demanding that we play attractive football, and maybe we don't get the results that we always hope for, or we play the way he is and we've got to get the results. And at the moment, we're not getting those results. So he's got to try and look for that plan B. I think that's the big thing for me. It's trying to find a different way of playing, because at the moment, it's just the same way.
And coming to you, any ideas at all on what this plan B could be? Because has he got one? Where would you go with a plan B to try and improve this? Because plan A is not working at the moment, is it?
Not at all. I think we got January transfer window coming up. I mean, I just hear things, who we're linked with, who we're not linked with. Sabitzer's getting touted about a lot. And we need someone with a bit of energy to come in to give us something different. We need a midfielder to score, to score 10, 15 goals a season. All right, and Ndombele scored tonight, fantastic, but it doesn't score enough when he does play. So we need to stop relying on Son and Kane and either bring in another striker, because Vinicius, I don't know what's going on now. I mean, I'm assuming he got a knock in training. I don't know. I mean, his feet, or he's made of glass. It's just everyone seems to be getting knocks left, right and centre. Get in another striker and get in an attacking midfielder. Someone to go between the lines, mate. Because I think when we've got Højbjerg, Sissoko, it's just so defensive, and it's very, very sideways. And I love Højbjerg. I'm not dissing the bloke, but we need someone different, or even someone to come in and change it up when we need to. You know, if Ali's not putting any trees up and Mourinho don't fancy him, then he has to go out on loan or see what happens, because he's obviously not
he's not in his plans. As Lee said, he was sitting in a box tonight with his, you know, night trainers on and his socks and his tracksuit. Oh, you might as well just gone home. There's no plan Bs. The plan B tonight, it didn't work again. You're bringing Bergwijn on, don't pull up any trees again. You know, yeah, you're like, you know, the Liverpool thing, you know, cut the chances, he never took it, didn't happen for him. The confidence is, maybe his confidence is low. But I think, or you bring some youngsters through.
Yeah, it's good point.
It's really, really hard because when we start the second half, that 45 to 55 minutes, I mean, quite me if I'm wrong, Lee, but we seem to concede then. And then 80 to 90 minutes, we seem to concede, as you well know. 80 minutes, I got up and started walking around in my ass because I knew what was going to happen. Just switch off. And it's not the Mourinho era. It's happened, as I said, in all the managers we've had. We just always have that in us to switch off. A player makes a mistake, it switches off. Someone has their debut against us, they score. You know, a manager hasn't won for 10 years. They win their first game against Spurs. It's just always happens with us. And it's so frustrating now. And as I said, I thought the tide was turning. And I hope I'm wrong.
Lee, same point to you with that, this plan B. And is there one? What would your plan B be?
Well, I think we assembled a squad in the summer with 7 new signings. Most Spurs fans that I talk to, including myself, obviously all of you guys, very, very happy with the window. Forget what's gone on so far. I think Højbjerg has been absolutely outstanding other than the Everton game. And he cost 15 million, is exactly what we were crying out for. Regulham, fantastic. Bale, what a signing. I mean, there wasn't a Spurs fan on the planet weren't excited about that happening. So, you know, I think we've done some really, really good business and we've got a really good squad to be able to, you know, mix it up. We've got, you know, world-class midfielder in Dele Alli or super-class midfielder. I say world-class, but, you know, he's a superstar midfielder. We've got Bergy, who scores big goals. He scored already against United in the restart. He scored City last year on his debut, I think it was, wasn't it, on his debut? Or certainly his second game, whatever it was. Fantastic big goals that he scored. You know, we've got Lucas, he scored a Champions League hat-trick in the semi-final. We've got Kane and Son, who are world-class. Bale's world-class. World-class winning captain. I mean, I go through everything. We all know this stuff. So, you know, I think to have a go at a squad and whatever is a little bit harsh. I think we could probably do with some strengthening, like we could always can. I think the tactics, the plan B should be that we should be looking at a slightly different option. You know, our plan B with Poch, and I'll go back to Poch, just bear with me. Our plan B with Poch was, you know, if it weren't going right, we'd just sling on Llorente and see what happens, which weren't really a plan B either, was it? You know, sometimes it worked. But Jose's not even doing that. He's not even putting on a Vinicius. Now, against West Brom, he done it, and we won the game 1-0, and Vinicius made a massive impact in that game. He's not even on the bench. Like, what is going on? Has he got COVID? I'm hearing rumours on social media that he might have a COVID situation. I don't know. But, you know, whatever's going on there is not right. We're not utilising or using the squad. You know, with the greatest of respect, not to Wolves, because I really like Wolves. My dad's a massive Wolves fan, as all listeners and you guys will know now. So I've gotten a bit of an affiliation with Wolves, and I like them. I think they're a really good side. But, you know, going up against Fulham, who are in the bottom three, and a promoted team in our next game, you do not need to play Son and Kane. Don't do it. Don't play Son and Kane. Use the squad that you've assembled, that Levy's allowed you and backed you to assemble, to make sure that we can go and turn them out. Now, what I will say, my glass is always half full, and I cannot do a pod for an hour, right, an hour and a half, moaning the whole time, right? And I absolutely lay the blame for that draw today on Jose Mourinho, 100% Jose. I wish you listened. I know you don't, but I wish you listened, because that was on you. Please go and rectify it like the champion you are, because I think you will rectify it and win. What I will say this, crackers and listeners, is this. As we stand right now, we are fifth in the Premier League. We are fifth. Now, if you said to any of us Spurs fans after the shit show that we had in the last 12 months, 14 months, that we'd be sitting here fifth, right, 3 points off of second place in the semi-final of the Carabao Cup, going to kick off the FA Cup and in the Europa League latter stages, everyone would have bitten your hand off, right? Everyone would. And the reason why they'd have bitten your hand off, crackers, is they'd have gone, we just need to get back in the top four. Well, we're right in the top four, right in the mixer in the top four, right? So we're fifth at the moment. We've got the fourth highest goals in the entire Premier League so far. Right, we're fourth in terms of goals scored. Right, so we've just been battering Spurs today, and rightly so, but we're fourth in the goals scored. We've got the third best defensive record in the Premier League out of everyone else. And I'm talking City, Liverpool, whatever. We've got the best, third best defensive record as well. And we've only lost three games in 15 Premier League matches. We've only lost three. And that is as good as or better than 16 other teams in the Premier League. So again, City, Liverpool, United and Spurs are the only teams that have lost three or less in the Premier League. Now, that is all pointing to me as a stats person, as a fan, as somebody, as an individual, that is all pointing to me as a pretty good season so far and somewhere that we will probably end up being there or thereabouts in the top three or the top four with some good cup runs. So let's just put some balance on the pod, right, on how we're feeling, because it's very emotive. What we decided to do before Ricky went off and had his baby son, but what we decided to do, started to use these pods and record them straight after the match, right? Because it gives you that emotive, it gives you that emotion, and we wanted to show that to the fan, to the listeners and whatever, and the 180 listeners' questions and whatever. But actually, when you start to analyze it, when you start to look at what that looks like, it wasn't acceptable tonight, but in the grand scheme of things, and this is not Jose getting into my head, but in the grand scheme of things, fourth highest goals in the Premier League, third best defensive record in the Premier League, only bettered by City, Liverpool, United and Spurs, the only four teams that have lost three games or less. That's top four quality. You know, we've scored a lot of goals. We've dropped off recently. We're going through a blip. Liverpool have had their blip. Everton were top of the league. They had their blip. They lost four on the bounce. Now they're second again. So the league is crazy. And people calling me out on Twitter about the crazy train. This is why I called it the crazy train. Does everybody understand it? It's not because I'm just some sort of waffling nutter. It's because it's crazy. It's always going to be a crazy season. Ups and downs, roller coasters, up and down on the track. It's crazy. And Everton now sits second in the Premier League, 3 points behind the leaders. Yet when they led the Premier League, everyone's like, yeah, Everton, they're great. Then they dropped off. Everyone's like, Everton's rubbish. Now they're back up there again. It only takes two or three wins on the bounce. We beat Leeds, beat Fulham, beat Leeds. We're back up there in the mixer. So let's just keep some balance on it. And I have to be positive because that's just my nature. But look, like I said before, and underlining the fact, right, there isn't a plan B. It doesn't feel like there's a plan B. And tonight we needed a plan B. I don't care if we're hoofing it up there. The thing that I'm so frustrated about, Crackers, tonight is we are set up and bought players to set up as a counter-attacking football team, and we had one counter-attack tonight. One. It's not good enough. Go and put it right in the next game against Fulham. Go smash them. I don't care if you have 20% possession or 80% possession. Go and attack some teams and create chances and score goals. That's what we want to see.
As a little counterbalance to what you said, though, Lee, because I'm sure there'll be listeners screaming at their devices, quite a lot of those stats are propped up by the early season, and our current direction that we seem to be heading in will suggest that those sorts of stats are not going to sort of hang up there for too long. That seems to be the worry at the moment. It's the early season, you're right. But as much as we're just a couple of points off the top four, we're also really just a couple of points away from mid-table as well if we don't pick things back up. But it's just a little counterbalance point.
No, I agree. It's relentless, isn't it, Crackers? It's relentless. Yes, the Premier League. It's a crazy. It's the hardest league in the world, and I agree with that. But again, it's just some balance there. Everybody is very, very annoyed and frustrated with tonight, and rightly so. But, you know, put some context around it. If we go, it's a big if, but if we go and put a couple of wins together, we're still right in the mixer. We've got away with it with other results. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Jamie, I'll come to you and let me ask you, is there anybody in this squad, a senior player, that's going to go and knock on Jose's door and say, boss, this isn't working and we need to change something. Maybe even one of his coaching staff, maybe Ledley or somebody like that. And if they do you think Jose would actually listen?
Look, I can't see one of the players doing it. I think maybe it would have to come from one of his assistant coaches. Now, João Sacramento is a guy who I rate very highly. I think he's a fantastic tactical analysis. And he needs to be looking at that performance tonight and realising, you know, the stats that Lee read out, you know, one counter-attack in the whole game for a side that's meant to be a counter-attack inside, to produce that, we need to be looking at a different way of approaching games, because it's just not working at the moment. So I can't see it coming from one of the players. I don't think that that's going to happen. And whether Jose Mourinho, I can't see Jose Mourinho going and listening to one of the players. I think it's going to have to come from someone in his coaching staff or even just himself to realise that what we're doing right now just is not working, and it needs to find a different approach, because we can't just keep sitting back. And, you know, we're sitting there, hopefully, you know, are we going to go and respond against Fulham and Leeds? But, you know, so far we keep saying this week after week and we're not changing at the moment. So, yeah, something really, really drastic has to change, because at the moment it's just not working for Spurs.
Well, before we go to the break, on behalf of maybe 100, 120 people on Twitter who, as I said, sent in questions and points, and again, I thank you for them. Jose, you're the man that's paid £2, £3, £4 million a year, whatever it is. And you're going to have to fix this up, because the goodwill is running out at the moment, because people are really not going to give you any goodwill playing that type of football. So something's desperately going to have to change in the next couple of games. As I said, we're going to take a break. Just before we do, a couple of little bits of housekeeping for you. I'm sure I speak on behalf of everybody on the pod. When we saw Raul Jimenez just before half-time in one of the boxes back at Molineux, watching the game with an absolutely awful, awful scar right across the side of his head from these operations. So from everybody at Last Word on Spurs, and I'm sure all Spurs fans, wishing you a full recovery from that, and it's good to see him back, just even being about and around the ground. So that was fantastic to see. And one last piece before we go to the break, just once again a big thank you to everybody that sent in birthday cards and presents to our dear friend Ron in the care home with the appeal we put out. He had hundreds of cards and gifts sent in to him. So us at Last Word on Spurs are currently trying to speak to the care home to get some pictures that we can put out on the socials of all the cards that he got. But as always, Spurs fans stepping up, Last Word on Spurs fans stepping up and delivering the goods and making Ron a very happy man. So that's brilliant. Little bit of heartwarming after all that 30-40 minutes of sheer despair that we brought you. So coming up in the second half, we'll be looking ahead, or looking at, I don't know if we want to look ahead at anything at the moment, we'll be looking at the Fulham game. So don't go anywhere, and we'll be back to preview Tottenham versus Fulham.
Overall, what do you think of the performance?
I think it was a solid performance by the defensive point of view, to play against Wolves. And I don't remember Hugo making an important save means a lot. But when you score in the first minute, you have 89 minutes to score more goals. And we didn't, and we were not even very close to score more goals.
This is one of the first times I've seen you frustrated.
I would like the players to tell you what I told at halftime. I would like them to tell you.
OK, we're at pitch side here at Molineux, and Matt, I mean, it's always a good point, as you well know, it's always a good point here. But, I mean, we led the game for 85 minutes. Yeah. I mean, that's the frustration, isn't it?
Yeah, it's always tough to take, really, when you concede that late in the game. Look, I know we were under pressure for a lot of the game, and they were knocking it around, but look, we've seen 85 minutes, so you think we can get through the last five. That wasn't the case, and it's a bit disappointing.
Good performance, though. I mean, especially first half. I mean, we looked bright, didn't we?
Yeah, first half, we started really well. First 20, 25 minutes controlling the game. And then obviously they had their period, which is expected to... And we seen it out, we seen it at half time, and we regrouped. But second half, we just couldn't really get anything going. And obviously they kind of nicked a point again.
I guess we take some positives from this in Fulham, no?
Yeah, of course. But listen, we came out of the traps flying, and that's what we've got to do in the next game. So if we can just get something going maybe in the second half and then try and create a few more chances. Obviously, you don't want to concede like that either. So we're very disappointed.
Yeah. How was it you coming back here then?
It was fine. Like, I seen a few of the lads before the game and just after the game, but it's a bit different. No fans. Kind of just feels like you're getting changed in like a boardroom. It's the same as every stadium now with the change rooms the way they are. So yeah, like, kind of just was fine. Didn't really feel anything towards it.
And Fulham, I guess they've got a win.
Yeah, look, we wanted to win tonight. But like, obviously, with the draw now, going to the next two games, you feel like we have to win the game to keep the pressure on the top.
Hi, this is Russ Gomel, host of Cottage Talk, and I'm recording this for Last Word on Spurs. And I'm recording this right after the Fulham match, the 0-0 draw against Southampton. And it's honestly a result that I'm very happy with. Fulham continue to find ways to get points. And it's a match that Fulham actually really just deserved the point. They're playing the top teams, and I'll put Southampton in that category, very tough. And there were not that many opportunities for Fulham in this match, and they limited the opportunities for Southampton. They made Southampton really work for their opportunities. They did create a few, and there was actually some good VAR news for Fulham as they got some calls that actually went their way for a change. So I do want to say that. But in the end, Fulham got another point, and that's a very good sign for Fulham Football Club. So as we look ahead to the match against Spurs, it's going to be a very difficult match, as I have a lot of respect for Spurs. I just want to say that. So let's start with what I think Fulham are going to do for their starting 11. And I'm actually going to go with the starting 11 as this. I'm going to go with Areola as your goalkeeper. I'm going to go with a back three of Aina, Adebayo, and Joakim Andersen. I'm going to go with wing backs. As on the right, I'm going to have Bobby Dekadovery. On the left, I'm going to go with Anthony Robinson. And then I'm going to go with three in the middle. This is going to be different than what Scott Parker went with today. I'm going to go with Andre Franken-Giessa, Mauro Lemina, and I'm going to go with Ruben Loftus-Cheek. And then up front, I'm going to go with Adamola Lookman. And then I'm also going to go with Cavallero. I don't think he's going to start Mitrovic because I think he's going to want to play again on the counter, and he's going to want pacey players up front. So that's why I think he's going to go with Cavallero. In regards to my thoughts on the match, again, a lot of respect for Spurs. I think that they're one of the best teams in the league, and I have a lot of respect for Harry Kane, top player, along with Son, who's playing fantastic, and this is going to be a difficult ask. But as I've watched Fulham, I've seen a remarkable improvement from the team that you have seen two seasons ago. This is not the same team. In fact, it's not the same team from the beginning of the season. Again, you just have to look at the defense. Fulham's downfall so far this season has been actually scoring goals and creating their opportunities into goals. So that's been a problem for them. Defense, they've come a long way, and that's why I think this is going to be a tight match. I don't think it's going to be an easy victory for Spurs. I think they're going to find that out, that Fulham are not that same team. Not a pushover. They're not going to be a pushover for Spurs. Just want to say that. So when I look at the match, I think, again, that I'm going to go for a draw again. I think Fulham are going to continue to draw matches. And I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. And I'm actually going to say that a player that's going to score a goal is going to be Adamola Lookman. If Fulham somehow get ahead in this match, if you look at their history, they're a difficult team to beat. You might get a draw on them. But if Fulham get the first goal, I think Fulham have a good shot to get a point out of this match. So I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw. And but I know it's not going to be an easy match. I think Fulham are going to play on the counter, look for their opportunities. There might not be many, but I think that they will create a few opportunities to get that goal. And they're going to keep it tight. And they're going to frustrate Spurs. So that's what I think is going to happen in this match. Okay, so and I also want to mention best of luck to Spurs fans around the world. And let's see what happens. But I'm going with a 1-1 draw.
Hi, guys. It's Will from Fulham Focus. I'm going to be looking at the probable formation tactics and how the game could end up being from kind of a Fulham perspective. So starting off with the formation, recently we've gone to a 5-back, especially against the better teams. Obviously Tottenham are very much up there in the table and have a very dangerous attack. So I would definitely predict that we stick with the 5-back. Areola's been playing in goal for us. He's been exceptional. He's on loan from PSG. He's a top keeper, and apparently PSG do want to offload him. Not sure if he wants to come to us, because I really do think he's one of the best keepers in the league. At fullbacks at the moment, kind of playing as wing backs, have been Anthony Robinson, who he signed from Wigan, and Bobby Reid, who's kind of had like a recent position change. You know, he's 28 now, but he seems to be thriving in a wing-back position. He's kind of come down from striker to wing-back, which is a bit of a change, but he's been brilliant, him and Robinson pushing forward and also dropping back. Then the three centre-backs have been Adebayo, Anderson and Aina, who are all three new signings, two of them on loan, Adebayo permanent, and those three have been exceptional recently. Then midfield two is Anguissa will most likely be in there as long as he doesn't get injured. He's been our player of the season, in my opinion. He's been absolutely exceptional, and I think he'd get in pretty much every single Premier League side. I mean, you guys can obviously judge him when we play you, but he's been brilliant. He's been absolutely amazing. And next to him, it will either be probably Lamina or Harrison Reed. So both got them from Southampton. Harrison Reed permanent, and he played last game against Southampton. Lamina was ineligible last game because he's on loan from Southampton. But he started to get a bit better for us, and him and Anguissa have been playing quite well in kind of a double pivot CDM role. And then on the ball, we tend to go to kind of two wingers and one striker. I would imagine it will be Lookman and probably Ruben Loftus-Cheek, RLC, out wide, but it could be Cavallero, and I think Mitro might start up front. He got dropped from the squad last game, but fans really do want him back up there, because you know he's our main man. He scored 26 goals for us in the Championship last season. He's just an out-and-out goal scorer, and that's kind of what we've been missing. He's been out of favour recently because we started to play counter-attack football. Obviously, he's not the fastest player, but I do think he could come back into the side with maybe Lookman and Ruben Loftus-Cheek either side. I think Lookman definitely. It could also be Cavallero. And if Tete's fit, it could be Bobby Reid at right wing and then Tete at right wing back. But I doubt if he's going to be thrown straight into the squad. So, yeah, like I say, we're likely to go 5-back. And then when we're attacking, either a 3-back or a 4-back, depending if both wing backs push forward or only if one does. Tactic-wise, we'll probably sit off the ball quite a bit. I would imagine you guys will have a fair bit of possession, which I know under Jose Mourinho isn't his speciality. He does like to play the counter-attack, especially against teams like Liverpool. He likes to sit back, and that's what we've started doing. So I think it'll be quite interesting. Possession-wise, I'd say it'll probably be quite close, as we both play sit-back football. Nothing wrong with it at all. I really credit how you guys have done it and how we've started to do it. I think it's brilliant. Shots-wise, I would imagine you guys will probably have more shots than us. Whereas Fulham, we haven't created enough chances recently. But I feel like we just need to be a bit more clinical, because there have been some games where we've had enough shots to win the game. Even if it's only three clear chances, we might only take one of them. And that's been our issue recently. And that's why some fans are calling for Mitrovic to be back in the team, because he's that person who's going to take those chances. He's just so crucial to the attack. or even if he doesn't suit the system as well as players like Cavallero might, Mitrovic is still a much better striker than Cavallero, and I really think he should be back in there. Score prediction will be interesting. I think it's going to be actually quite a close game, and I know you guys might not like to hear this, but I really, really think that we can get a draw. So I'm going to say 1-1. Probably Harry Kane and Lookman with the goals. And yeah, good luck. All the best for the rest of the season.
Hello, Ricky, and all the team at Last Word on Spurs, as well as your lovely listeners. My name's Dom Bett, and I'm from the Fulhamish podcast, and I'm coming on to have a look ahead to, obviously, the game at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on the 30th of December. Hope everyone had a very, very enjoyable festive period. And Fulham, at the moment, we're in a bit of a weird place at the moment because we've started playing really well, or the performances have definitely improved as compared to what we saw at the beginning of the season, where we're conceding goals left, right and centre. We've seemed to have definitely shored up at the back. You know, we've got four draws in a row now, not conceding that many, too many goals at all. I think it's 445 minutes since we last conceded a goal from open play now, which if you told us that at the beginning of the season we'd be doing in December, I think a lot of Fulham fans would have bitten your hand off. We just haven't been converting these draws into wins, which has been our biggest issue. You know, the likes of Burnley have been getting victories. Brighton are still ahead of us, but I'm still confident that we can stay up. We have shown promise. It's just sort of getting our front line sort of firing and trying to get putting goals in the back of the net, because we are very strong at the back now, and it's more just trying to convert the chances through our midfield and into our attack. You know, the tactical system that we've been playing recently has been a sort of a 3-4-3 or 3-4-1-2 back three of Olaina, obviously formerly of Chelsea, that we've got on loan from Torino, Tosin Adebayo and Anderson, who we got from Lyon and Manchester City, who have been absolutely exceptional for us since they've come in. You know, they've formed a real partnership at the back, and obviously behind them you've got a world-class keeper, or, you know, who's in a World Cup winning squad behind Hugo Lloris in Alphonse Areola. And I think there's a lot of teams in the Premier League he'd start off who are in the top echelons of the league. You know, I think he's a top four quality goalkeeper. I think he's absolutely exceptional, and somehow we've got him on loan from the likes of Paris Saint-Germain, who's also was at Real Madrid last season. He's absolutely phenomenal. So you've got that sort of the back three and the goalkeeper who've been sublime recently. Then in the wing back area, he's been playing Bobby Decordova-Reed in the right wing back position, although he's mainly known as being sort of an attacker, you know, whether it's striker or a number 10 or a winger. But he's been playing in the right wing back, and he's been amazing there. The work rate's there, he's, you know, getting up and down, he's supporting Olarina, he's joining the attacks, as we saw with his goal against Liverpool, and he is actually our top goal scorer this season. And on the left hand side, we've got Anthony Robinson, who we got from Wigan, who, as the commentators seem to mention, every single game nearly got a move to AC Milan last season if it wasn't for his medical issues. But again, he's been great as well. He's been, you know, getting down the line, putting some great balls into the box. You know, if Mitrovic was starting, he probably would have put some of them away. You know, there was a clear chance in our last game against Southampton on Boxing Day where he put in a sublime ball for Ivan Cavallero, and he unfortunately just headed it completely high and wide over the bar. Then in the centre midfield department, we've been rotating Mauro Lamina and Harrison Reed playing alongside Andre Frank Zambo-Anguissa, who I think is one of the most underrated players in the league. I think he's absolutely amazing. There was a reason Real Madrid were after him last January, after he was on loan at Villarreal from us last season while we were in the Championship. But he breaks the lines in the midfield so well. He gets the ball and he drives through the midfield, and I think he sort of what we've been missing since we sold Moussa Dembélé to you guys, really. He's probably the best midfielder at doing that we've had since then. And the next thing, you know, you've got Lamina and Reed, who are two sort of different types of midfielders. You've got Lamina, who's sort of all action, combative, and, you know, and again sort of driving through, but you've also got Harrison Reed, who can just sit there and allow Anguissa to play. And I think both of them are going to have their parts to play in the squad this season. But that's been our sort of settled midfield. Then the recent front three has been Ruben Loftus-Cheek, Ivan Cavallero and Ademola Lookman. Ivan Cavallero and Ruben Loftus-Cheek I would personally take out. I don't think Ruben Loftus-Cheek has been up to it this season. He seems slow, he seems sluggish. He doesn't seem to have recovered from his most recent long-term injury. And Ivan Cavallero, although he scored that penalty, which we finally did this season, I think that's his only goal in the last 30 games for us. So if it was me, I'd bring in the likes of Alexander Mitrovic and Tom Kearney to play in the front three, because I think especially when if we're going to be, you know, not having as much of the ball, and I think holding the ball up from Mitrovic is going to be very key, and then the likes of Tom Kenny to pick a pass for the likes of Lookman, who's probably been our best attacker this season. He's been absolutely sensational. His direct running at players, he's always looking to take players on, and I think that's something we've missed in recent years. Really, last year we had the likes of Cavallero and Anthony Knockout at one. It's just one of the same. Yeah, Adamola Lookman for us has been absolutely sensational. And it's annoying this game because it's the second season in a row we've played you guys in the Premier League and we haven't been able to go to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Obviously, the first time you guys were still playing at Wembley, and then now, obviously, you know, it's behind closed doors. It's annoying because it's, you know, the only ground in the Premier League that I and a lot of Fulham fans haven't been to due to our 13 years there previously from, you know, 2001 to 2014, you know, where we've reached the likes of the Europa League final and played in Europe multiple times. But yeah, it's annoying. There's no fans at the game, especially, I know, even if it was Tier 2, there wouldn't be Fulham fans there, but, you know, no fans at the game isn't what anyone wants to see. But yeah, that's sort of team I'm expecting from Fulham. I don't think we'll change our game plan too much. We will be very solid at the back, so we will be asking you guys to break us down. Like, and as you can see against Liverpool, you know, we restricted them to very few chances. Their goal came through a dubious penalty decision for a handball from a wall and a free kick from a Boubacar Kamara. So, you know, we sat deep and didn't allow them to space in behind. And I think we're going to do that for Spurs. We're not going to allow Kane and Son to have all these deep runs in behind, and the likes of Gareth Bale and Lucas Moura as well. So I think you're going to have to work very hard for your chances. If I'm going to go for a score prediction for this game, I'm going to be positive and say Fulham can get another draw, a fifth consecutive draw. I don't think we'll have enough to win. I think I've only seen us win at White Hart Lane once, and that was when Dimitar Berbatov scored the winner. But I'm going to be positive and say we can hopefully grab a 1-1 draw, because obviously you guys, you still are in the title race. A lot of teams are, but obviously you dropped outside of the top four recently. And I think we can cause you guys some issues. As I say, we caused Liverpool issues, and, you know, they're arguably the best team in the league, and, you know, they are the champions. So I really do think we can cause Tottenham some problems. I don't think we'll have enough in us to win the game, but I am confident we can get a 1-1 draw. I've been Don Betsman of Fulham's podcast. Enjoy the game, guys.
And we're back. Last word on Spurs. We've been discussing what was quite a horror show today against Wolverhampton Wanderers. A real horror show. So, look, let's put that to bed, okay? It's all about looking forward. It's Christmas time. It's a time of hope, and it's a time of renewed vigour and such. And so let's try and take a bit of Christmas spirit through to Spurs. And look, we want to say thank you to the Fulham previews. Well done for those. So to the chaps in the virtual studio, and we really should be looking forward to this Fulham game. It should be something we'll be licking our lips at. Okay. But the way things are at the moment, Lee, I'll start with you. I just can't be confident about anything. I mean, I'm fearing Marine at the moment, to be honest. It's just like, that's how I feel.
Well, it's scary, isn't it? I watched the Fulham game the other night, yesterday, versus Southampton. And Southampton scored two goals that were ruled offside. And, you know, Fulham had a couple of chances. They just didn't, they can't cross the ball very well. And then when they did cross the ball well, it was a woeful header. Didn't really have any cutting edge at all. But they got a lot of energy, a lot of verve, a lot of, you know, a willingness to get on the ball and do certain things, and actually got into a lot of attacking positions, four or five people in a box or in the final third for sure. So they're not fighting to go forward, which I actually think will suit Tottenham, especially at our place, because actually there'll be a load of space in behind to go and have a go at them. But, you know, with all the greatest respect, I think Fulham, Craven Cottage is an amazing ground. If you haven't ever been, try and get yourself down there as an away game when the world kind of gets back to some sort of normality. It's one of the best away grounds you can go to. It's fantastic. And it's a brilliant club, to be fair. But with all due respect to them, we should be absolutely stuffing them. Like, there's no doubt about it. We need to go there and absolutely rip them a new one. I think we've got it in us. We showed it against United. We showed it against Southampton. We showed it against Maccabi Haifa. You know, West Ham 3-0 up. You know, I know it went tits up in the end, but, you know, we've got the ability to be able to go and do it. And I think we need to be on the front foot and you know, I was going to say, start fast, get in and be on the front foot. We did that tonight against Wolves, and look how it turned out. But, you know, there should be no fear. The problem is, Crackers, is when you go four games without a win in the Premier League and you play some woeful stuff like we've played over the last couple of games, you know, you've taken 2 points out of a possible 12, it starts to become a confidence issue. Regardless of how good you are as a player, it starts becoming confidence issues. You start to think, oh, actually, maybe I shouldn't do this, or maybe I should do that, or maybe I should just get rid of it, or whatever it might be. And that's going to prove a point. But if there's anything to be positive about, even more positive about tonight, is that Fulham game is in 2 days or 3 days' time. So, you know, we're going to get this shitty result out of our system very, very quickly, and we need a reaction. I wanted a reaction after Leicester. I wanted a reaction after Liverpool. We didn't get it against Leicester. I wanted a reaction out of Leicester. Didn't really get that tonight at all either, as we've discussed. So we've got to have one against Fulham. Otherwise, we're going to start getting into a rut. And that balancing that you did before the break on my stats of positivity is going to start. You know, we're on a downward spiral. We've got to stop it. We've got to get a win, and we've got to start moving back towards the higher echelons of that table. And it has to start against Fulham. And I think that we shouldn't be fearful. People talk about Lookman. People talk about a DC. People talk about these players. But what have they done? You know, they couldn't even score a penalty like 3 weeks ago. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, we should have no fear of them whatsoever. We should go in there with our chests out, pumped up, and say, right, we need to put tonight, it was a wrong, and we need to put it right against Fulham at home and put on a performance that we're all proud of. So we can go into that Leeds match knowing that we've got 3 points under our belt and we're going again.
Jamie, coming to you, he can't play Son and Kane, can he? He just cannot. They are knackered.
No, totally. And it's so frustrating because you can't keep relying on the same players over and over again, especially when they're in the sort of form that they're in at the moment. You need to go and change it up, and he can't keep alienating players. You've got Dele Alli there in the squad. You've got Vinicius to come into the team, and you need to be able to rotate them. You can't not have use these players. I mean, it's beyond me why Vinicius was kind of cut out, because I think in that game where he was hauled off midway through, I think through the second half, he just scored a goal, and it was just kind of bizarre that we haven't seen him since. We desperately need a guy who can come in and fill the spot, Harry Kane's spot at the moment, because at the moment he's absolutely on it, you know, absolutely dead on his feet. So he needs to be able to go and rotate it. I don't want him to keep trying to alienate players and trying to keep them out the squad. But yeah, look, Fulham, of course, it's a side we've got to go and beat. We can't, you know, you can't go and sit and defend against Fulham. We can't play the way we have been. We need to go and change it, and we need to really, really go at them. I don't want to see a Spurs trying to sit deep, trying to defend the 1-0 lead. We need to go for them. We can't just go and rely on a one-goal lead. It's got to be all guns out on Wednesday.
Jamie, I'll stay with you. Behind Son and Kane and Vinicius, is there any other options up top that we could possibly go with? I mean, I saw Gary Doherty and Campbell play up top for us once. I mean, sure, there must be some other options.
I think as well, I look at the bench today. I think it was Dele, Bergwijn and Lucas to come off the bench. So in a way, yes, I mentioned about plan B. He needs to try and think of a different option or way of working. But at the moment, Lucas isn't contributing enough when he comes on. Bergwijn not contributing enough when he comes on. And it needs also the players that aren't kind of getting in the starting 11 to really step up. As I said, it's always so reliant. When Kane and Son are not performing, Spurs just don't seem to have another player who's able to step up. The other frustrating one, again, given Ndombele 90 minutes, it's clearly not a fitness issue there. It's a problem. We're trying to shore up the midfield. And Ndombele is our most creative player. It was pretty much the only player on the pitch for Spurs today that was actually looking to try and go forward, that was doing something special. So he needs to keep Ndombele on the pitch. He can't have this agenda against Ndombele where he wants to try and shore up the midfield, because he really was the only alternative to Kane and Son today. So I don't want to see Ndombele hauled off after, you know, that predictable, we even called it on the WhatsApp, Brill off after 60 minutes or so. I don't want to see that. I need, you know, if he's the only person offering an alternative, then we need to try and look to work with his strengths. And that's something, obviously, we really messed up today by bringing him off.
And you and I have been friends for a few years now. And I remember going to a charity football game with you and you bagging a bit of a weldy. Have you got your boots for Wednesday night?
Yeah, Liberty Stadium, wasn't it? Worldy. I wish I did, mate. I'll tell you, because I don't know, man. I'm with the boys. I don't think he'll drop Son or Kane. I really don't. I think he just wants to get the job done if we can do that. But, you know, it's like Fulham are fighting for their lives and knowing how like they'll turn into Brazil 1970 against us. So it's just one of them things. I'm really, really, for the first time in a long time, I'm not confident. I think we will win, but I'm still got that doubt in me. The minute that 8 minutes starts, when I see the 8 minutes on the clock, I just start getting nervous.
Scotty Parker, and I know that you always fear the curse of the ex-player or somebody that was with us, or is there a future Spurs manager in Scott Parker, do you think, or has he not really been at the reins long enough to show...
Not at the moment. I mean, listen, he's doing all right for Fulham, and good luck to him. And I always loved Scotty Parker because he was always a solid 7-8 out of 10 week in, week out. But to manage Spurs, I can't see that in the future, you know. But you never know. Stranger things have happened. But let's get this game under our belt. Let's forget about tonight. Move on. Please, God, we win on Wednesday and we're still in and amongst it, hopefully.
All right, listen, chaps, I'm not even going to come to you for score predictions because at the moment we're so Jekyll and Hyde. I'm just going to say that we're all hoping for a win, hoping for at least if we're going to play a counter-attacking game, have more counter-attacks than one, I should say, as Lee's pointed out from his blue book, or just at least go all out and just have a go. But just please, Tottenham, please, Jose, do something a bit different than what you've done today. It's just because that's just not working. That's just not the answer. All right, listen, I just want to say thank you, Jamie, for this evening. Tough show to do, these ones, but you've stepped up, stepped in, offered some good points and a bit of positivity in amongst the kicking of anus as well. Thank you very much, sir.
My pleasure. And really, I think one of the only positives was that they didn't have that long to ruin our weekend. So I guess that's one of the only positives to kind of take from tonight. But yeah, look, we need a big response. We know Jose Mourinho and his staff are fantastic tactical analysis. They'll need to go away and look that tonight didn't work. It hasn't been working for the last couple of games and it really needs to change. So hopefully they can find an alternative.
To you, Mr. Lee McQueen, let's hope that blue book has a few more positive stats in the columns come Wednesday night and the train gets back on track.
Train needs to be back on track. A crazy train. I told everybody at the beginning of the season, when Jose came in a year ago, it's going to be a crazy train. It's a crazy ride. And at the moment, it's crazy. We don't like it. It's a mind-blowing emoji. But I'm confident that we'll get back on track. I'm confident that we'll win on Wednesday. 3 points in the bag. It'll be a nice performance, a good performance. Goals coming. It set us up lovely for the weekend before we go again against Leeds. Remember, we are not out of this. We're not in the mix-up. We're not title contenders, but we're not out of a top four position. We're in a decent position to still have a very, very good season. So let's learn from this. Don't keep doing the same thing, Palace, and then again tonight, as we pointed out, learn from it. Get the job done against Fulham in a good way. Start playing some football that we can all enjoy because tonight wasn't acceptable. So Jose, change it, buddy. Because we need it.
Hallelujah, brother McQueen. And finally to you, Mr. Anthony Costa. Let's hope the only winks we're discussing Wednesday are the ones where we're winking at each other after the game going, hey, what about that for a week? What about that?
Listen, I hate sounding players out, but, you know, people might have a pop at me in that, but... Unfortunately, I hate being that person. I hate singling players out. So apologies to the people that are listening. I just very, I'm too passionate sometimes for my own good. And I just want us to just play some good football and to go out on Wednesday and beat Fulham and not have any, don't be scared. I don't want to see scaredness. I just want to see us attacking and defending right. And no silly mistakes. Just everyone fight for that badge, man, because the badge is very, very important.
Boys and girls, as ever, we always appreciate you listening and downloading. And again, thank you for, wow, there must be nearly 200 points and questions that have come in. And we have tried to cover them all, but
we
please
must have covered them off, haven't we, Crackers? We must have covered a lot of them off. I know we haven't name dropped everyone, but we must have covered them off.
No, it's just just brilliant, just brilliant. At Colin Spurs, at Gaz 1882, there's just been so many that have come in, and I mean, to be honest, some of them we couldn't actually read. They were just so fuming, like. But listen, it's a game of passions. That's what it's all about. And let's hope that we put it right on Wednesday. Enjoy your rest of your Christmas break, whatever you're doing. We're back on Wednesday after the Fulham game. Hopefully a little bit more positive. Hopefully a little bit more upbeat. But as always, whatever happens, it's always come on you Spurs.
Come on you Spurs.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.